You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, Steelers fans, welcome to the Pittsburgh Steeler Power Half Hour here on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. I'm Chris Pugh. As always, I got Paul Yanchek and Joe Frost with me. How are you guys doing tonight?
I always wait for Paul to answer, and he never does.
Yes.
So I always leave like a big gap because I'm just waiting for Paul's got to have something interesting to say about how he's doing today, but he never does. I'm very tired today because I've had a very long day,
okay.
But I have strong feelings about the town that we're here to make fun of today.
Okay.
And I'm trying to figure out how to make product placement work on an audio show. So
Okay. Unless the product you're trying to place has a very distinctive sound.
Right. In case you're wondering, Paul's holding a big Diet Pepper, Dr. Pepper. It's regular, pepper. Right?
Yeah, it's a regular. Diet pepper.
Regular Dr. Pepper. Paul's like, I don't drink that diet.
It's like a whole green pepper.
I'm a regular guy.
But so. It's very thin.
Just sucking the juices good. Right out.
Well, hey.
Straw.
Well, like it's a
Capri Sun. You just junk
right. The
straw in there.
Well, let's start talking Steelers. It's a good week. I mean, yesterday we were about ready to just take a long walk somewhere because the Steelers had lost three in a row, but the Steelers won. They beat the Broncos 27-19. I'm feeling good.
Feels good to have some breathing room, man.
Yeah.
And the weight of everybody just, you know, really taking down the Steelers and especially blaming Big Ben for everything as if he's the one who's also on the O-line and he's the one who's receiving and he's doing kickoff returns. Okay. Like it was very difficult to process all of that because it definitely wasn't all his fault and it's not washed. And I'm just glad that he showed enough of that in this week to, you know, those long throws, you know, managing the clock, doing everything that he needed to do to get a W. It feels good this week.
Joe, way too much analysis. Let's get to the point. You're welcome, Pittsburgh Steelers and Steelers fans. As we're starting to say, after every Steelers win, it's obviously because we ripped the city that they played and the team they played. And we had fun last week. Yeah, we had fun last week ripping Barefoot Kickers and John Elway, Tim Tebow, and the goofy guy that wore a barrel around his middle and the weather and everything. It's good. So, you know, you're welcome, Steelers fans. We're glad to provide that service. And Joe, Paul, like we always say, nothing brings us together more than ripping other cities, other football teams, and other people. This brings Steeler Nation together, and hopefully we got a good list for you, because this Sunday night, the Steelers will host the Seattle Seahawks. I almost said Seattle Supersonics, which is kind of weird.
Which would have been an amazing game. Oh, we definitely would get a win there.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know.
Sean Kemp let himself go.
Yeah. Gary Payton and Detlef Schrempf. I'm not sure if they're good football players, but no, we're playing the Seahawks, and it's definitely a winnable game. Steelers are, you know, no Russell Wilson, so the Seahawks will start Geno Smith. And sometimes, you know, backup quarterbacks are giving the Steelers trouble, but hopefully it'll be okay on Sunday. But again, let's focus our energy on attacking the city of Seattle. And the first thing I wanted to bring up was the Space Needle. Why are we doing things like this? You might sit there and say, it's a landmark. It's very nice. You know, my family went to Toronto, not recently, but not too long ago, and they had the big CN Tower. You know, the big tower you can ride up and see the city from the top. And I guess it's nice. I guess if you're in Toronto, you should go see it. Same way if you go to Seattle. But I'm trying to figure out what's the point. Okay, you're really high up, and you look over the city. I mean,
there it is. That's the end. Like that's all there is to it.
Right.
I'm just still confused by the name. I mean, I'm not confused. I'm not that confused. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It is neither in space, nor is it particularly shaped like a needle.
Yeah,
space was lower when it was built.
Space was so you're talking about space has receded, like our hairlines.
Okay,
I don't have a hairline anymore.
Well, this is what I'm saying. It's retreated so far. I mean, it's basically at your feet. It's gone all the way down. There's nothing left.
Paul's
it's all on the front of my face now.
I guess
Paul's an avid book reader. It sounds like Paul was reading Kyrie Irving's Theory of Science, because you know Paul, you know Kyrie talks about how the Earth's being flat.
Now that the Earth is flat, the space has receded.
Right.
Of the flatness of Earth. I'm not sure where you're going there. In the 70s, when this thing was built, then space was closer.
Yeah, it was really like you could just reach out and touch it, basically.
Ooh. That would have been amazing.
But now they should rename it. So fair to your point.
So what would it be now?
Air Pokey Tower. That's the new name.
Pokey Tower? So like Pokemon?
Pokey Tower.
And I understand that every landmark has to have a distinct purpose. Like if there's a Seattle Seahawks podcast that does the same thing that we do here, maybe they're looking at Pittsburgh and saying, I don't understand why this landmark's there. So I understand not every landmark has to have a specific point or purpose. Yeah,
but they're wrong.
That's right. But what I'm saying is, overall, what does it bring to you? Like, yeah, my parents would say it to me growing up, like, oh, you like to collect baseball cards. What does that do? What value does it have? I'd say the same thing in Seattle. What value does the space needle have? I can't think of anything.
It's tall.
It makes for a really cool, like, silhouette of the skyline.
It's part of the Frasier line, you know, when Frasier starts singing. It's on that. I guess it's distinctive.
So is that worth all the money? Is that worth all the money you went to build it? I guess that's what I'm saying. You got one line and a sitcom theme song.
It's not even like an office tower or anything. It's like
how do you
make money off this thing? Is it just purely tourism? Like
I thought it was a restaurant.
It's a restaurant?
I thought. I could be wrong.
It better be a really good restaurant.
Yeah, to go up there.
So you just got like a pack of the astronaut ice cream.
What? Are you kidding me? You open it with a needle?
And if you work downtown,
you would, like, perforate the whole thing and then, like, rip it open?
Yeah, you wouldn't have time to go there for lunch if you worked downtown.
When I was young.
Oh, very tough. Well, hey, let's move on to the next one. And this is all about Seattle. It rains way too much in Seattle. And I have not truly understand why does it rain in Seattle and does it rain in Pittsburgh or Columbus? What does Seattle have? Is it like kind of more toward a rainy climate? I mean, I never understood that.
Do you really want to get into the like geographic like reasons why? Because it's cool air coming off of the ocean and getting trapped, because just after Seattle you have mountains, so the air gets trapped right there, and that's why it rains a lot there.
But even people in London are like, I can never live in Seattle, it's too rainy.
Right. And
I don't think London is as rainy as it used to be. I think it had the reputation at a certain point, but I think that was a turn of the century thing with the smog and the Industrial Revolution stuff. I think that was related.
Well, here's my question. And again, I did poorly
in meteorology with Joe here today.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your input, Joe, because I think it's science. And I'm glad for that. But it brings up my question. And those of you who listen to the show every week are like, you want to move these cities. I mean, I literally wanted to shut down Buffalo because it should be uninhabitable.
I think that's still wise, though.
Right. And I hate to bring that up with every city that we talk about. But why was Seattle built where Seattle was built? I mean, it was kind of built in this big rain, you know, area, which doesn't make sense.
That's like New Orleans. Like, let's build it in the bottom of a bowl.
Yeah.
Like, what? You gotta think New ahead.
Rough. It's also like hotter than Satan's armpit there.
So that's pretty hot.
I don't know why. And it smells the same as Satan's armpit. I love New Orleans. That's actually where my wife and I went for our honeymoon. But we'll complain about New Orleans some other day.
Yeah.
Seattle. So, like, what bothers me about it is that it's, like, the rainiest part of the country, right? Mm-hmm. It rains the most amount of days. But it's not even purely, like, the amount of rainfall. It's that so much of those rainy days, it's that, like, spitting kind of crappy rain that's not even real rain. It's, like, just constantly there. It's not hard rain. Like, we get in the south here, we get a lot of really hard rains that come through, and it's like 45 minutes of like just torrential downpour. And then it's nice the rest of the day. But it's just like constant all day long, just that spitting crappy rain. And that's the worst part of it. It's not even like that cleansing rain that dumps on you and then is gone. It's just there all the time.
How do you wear glasses if you live in Seattle and you just don't. Got that?
Yeah,
perpetual mist.
You don't. Don't do it.
How sad would you have to be to live in Seattle? I mean, we're based here in Ohio, and you know, I remember there was one week or 2 weeks in Central Ohio where it rained every day for 14 days, and I was freaked out. I'm thinking, man, is this the end of the world? Is this a biblical sign of the times? What's happened? Because it just rained every day. There was no sun. There was no nothing. And in Seattle, that's every year. I mean, you know, in Ohio, we're freaking out like, oh, my goodness, what calamity has God brought on us? Where in Seattle, they're like, yeah.
They're sunbathing.
Yeah, they're sunbathing
every They're year. Like, this is just normal. Yeah, from what I have heard, again, this is not research, this is not science, but Seattle being the cloudiest and rainiest area of the country, the second cloudiest area of the country for completely different reasons meteorologically, this second cloudiest area of the country is Northeast Ohio.
Really?
Ooh. And that is actually theoretically why Goodyear and like there were a lot of factories for building airplanes in World War II, because they didn't want all of those factories and things to get bombed in case we ever were invaded by the Nazis or whatever. And it was the cloudy, like the most cloud cover. So that's why all of the airline factories and whatever are in Washington. And there was a whole bunch of that activity in Northeast Ohio. Because they
okay,
were clouded.
You're raising the IQ of the show too much. Stop.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know.
I'm sorry. Mean, this is... You opened the door.
Okay.
You opened Pantera's box or whatever.
Well, Northeast Ohio, that's Cleveland Browns area. Obviously a very depressed area.
Yeah.
It does make sense. Definitely.
And Seattle and Cleveland both suck. So, you know.
Yes, very much.
But at least Seattle, you get the Pacific Northwest. They got the big Sasquatch community. So they do have that going for them.
You know, we don't normally talk about positives on this show. Sasquatch activity is at an all-time high in the Pacific Northwest. And there you go.
Let me throw a bonus one at you, too, from our great leader, Jeff Hartman, who offered Starbucks as a thing that we should dislike. I agree with Jeff. Very overrated, very expensive. You know, my love language is buying gifts for my wife, and she likes Starbucks. And I buy her a $25 gift card, and that covers, like, what, a drink or maybe two drinks. It's way overpriced. And she's excited when I buy it for her, but she's like, man, what a rare treat. Starbucks for as much as it is. And I agree. What a expensive, non-exciting coffee is Starbucks. And, you know, Starbucks is based out of Seattle. Starbucks sucks, right?
I would think so. You know, there's a lot of people who like it. And I think that most of the people who like it don't like coffee. This is a whole coffee rant. Because right. Starbucks burns their coffee. The roast of it is very heavy. And so almost all of Starbucks coffees are burnt and don't taste good on their own. And so most of the people who like Starbucks coffee aren't people who drink it black. You know, they want a lot of cream, a lot of whipped cream, a lot of sugar and caramel, and they want a candy bar in a cup. And that is to cover up the coffee taste, which is the weirdest thing in the world. Why are you buying coffee if your whole point is to cover up the coffee taste? So Starbucks coffee is actually some of the worst coffee that is out there. It's just burnt because to make it consistent flavor amongst all of their roasts, they raise the temperature a little bit too high in order to cook all of the beans.
Well, and we're going to talk about this in a second, but, you know, Starbucks really fits in the Seattle motif because Seattle has some expensive players over the years. Look at the Mariners of the 90s. You know, you had Randy Johnson, expensive big-name pitcher, and Ken Griffey Jr. And what did they win? Nothing. They didn't win anything with them. Seattle's got a big, expensive football stadium, the 12th man that we're going to make fun of shortly. What did they win? Nothing. So Starbucks, I think, has that same mentality where they're like, all right, we're going to make our, you know, coffee $500 per cup. And because it's $500 a cup, people are going to be like, oh, wow, it's expensive. So it must be great. We must want to buy it, no matter how crappy it is. And same thing with, you know, the Mariners, you know. Oh, we got Randy Johnson, so we'll pay big money no matter how few titles he's going to win for us. Or Ken Griffey Jr. or anything. It's like this very, you know.
Didn't Randy Johnson leave and win titles somewhere else?
But he didn't win them in Seattle.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, come on. And unlike LeBron James here in Ohio, you know, Randy Johnson did not come back to Seattle to try to win titles of Seattle.
You know, I killed a bird.
But he did kill a bird.
Okay.
Which is amazing.
That's
some great video, man. I love how we're just jumping from sport to sport in comparison.
Right. But because there's so many things we can dislike Seattle about. I mean, it's prolific. It goes from sport to sport, business to business, everything else. So, well, hey, as we ponder that, you might be sitting here going, oh, my gosh, they're just talking about Seattle. This is a football show. What do they dislike about the Seahawks? We've got a couple things on our list. But before we do that, we need to go to an ad break here on the Pittsburgh Steelers Power Half Hour here on Pittsburgh Steelers Steelers Radio, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. We'll be back shortly.
I was about to give up when I saw you coming outside the door.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there, Steelers fans. Welcome back to the Pittsburgh Steelers Power Half Hour here on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. I'm Chris Pugh. Got Paul Yanchek, Joe Frost with me. And we're ripping the city of Seattle. Lots of things to dislike. We spent 15 minutes going off on things around Seattle, from the fact it rains all the time to Starbucks and just all kinds of stuff we could rip on Seattle about. But, you know, we got to start talking about that football team that's going to be playing the Steelers on Sunday night, the Seattle Seahawks. And there's a lot of things we dislike about the Seahawks. And let's go to the first one. You know, here in Pittsburgh, Steelers fans, we don't like the New England Patriots for good reason. You know, Tom Brady won a bunch of Super Bowls and everything. And one of the Super Bowls... What? Yeah.
Oh. But one of the Brady, that's with a
yes. I know.
E? Is there an E in that?
I've tried to forget about Brady, but he's still out there. But one of the titles that Brady won with the Patriots, it was a gift. Patriots are playing the Seahawks. Seahawks are driving for a late touchdown. You know, Seattle had Beastquake, which is a really overrated name, in Marshawn Lynch. They're at the 2-yard line. It's like when the Steelers had Jerome Bettis. When you're at the 2-yard line, you don't goof around. You give it to your big guy, he storms the end zone. But the Seahawks wanted to play cute. They tried to throw a pass, it was picked off. Patriots win the Super Bowl. Guys, I don't like the Seahawks because they said, here you go, Tom Brady. Here's another Super Bowl. When if Marshawn Lynch ran it in, it'd be one less Super Bowl for Tom Brady. You guys agree?
Yeah, I mean, that was a no-brainer at that point. I intentionally withheld my thoughts about Starbucks so it didn't turn ugly. But right. This is, yeah, I think the entire world was like, wait, what are they doing? That's you're being ridiculous. What? How do you not give it to Lynch?
Don't give.
They just showed you that by not giving it to Lynch, and then you lose the Super Bowl. That's if that was your plan all along. I question the rest of your season. What were you thinking?
And come on, don't gift wrap Brady and Belichick. It was almost like Pete Carroll took the Lombardi trophy. As we talked about in the previous podcast, it should have been the Chuck Noll trophy, but we'll leave that go for now. You know, Carroll wrapped it up and said, here you go, Bill Belichick. Here you go, Tom Brady. And, man, if there was two people that Steelers fans wouldn't want to get that Super Bowl trophy, obviously, you know, it's Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. So, rough times.
Thanks a lot, Seattle.
Yeah. Here's the other thing, too. And let's go back to non-football for a second before we get back to football. Seattle's known for its grunge music. You think of bands like Alice in Chains, Soundgarden, Nirvana, and Pearl Jam. And, you know, because of that, everyone's like, man, Seattle's the big grunge capital of the world. But there's an article that talks about, hey, it's not the grunge capital of the world. And I'll be honest, when you think of, you know, Seattle, you think of Fraser, you think of yuppie coffee drinkers who love spending $100 a cup for coffee. I don't think of that many grunge fans. So, I know, I think Seattle's overrated as a grunge music capital. Joe, do you agree?
I mean, even if they were, is this is something that we're still holding on to? That's like 1989.
Yeah.
What's the contribution to the world of popular music that you've made since 1989?
Right.
The answer is none.
Right.
They can't still be holding on to grunge capital of the world. I don't know.
They're like here.
Several of those people are not from the Seattle area. They met there. Is there really something in the atmosphere that brought us grunge music other than you have to wear flannels there? Is that the contribution?
Oh, no, I totally agree. It's annoying when people hold on to the past, because here in Ohio, where we're based out of, you know, you have a conversation with Browns fans about, you know, hey, the Steelers won 6 Super Bowls, and look at the Steelers. What a team of greatness. And, I mean, I've had conversations with Browns fans where they said, well, remember back in the 50s, the Browns won 6 straight AAFC titles. And I'm like, that's not the NFL. And back then, those leagues had 8 to 10 teams. It's not like now where there's 30 teams you have to overcome. So, you know, Browns fans here in Ohio hold on to the 50s, and Seattle people are holding on to music from the 80s. Come on, you know.
See, I never questioned the grunge capital of the world thing, because I figure if you live someplace where it's always gray and rainy, you're going to be edgy and grumpy. And I mean, that's so, yeah, you're going to get grunge music. But
okay,
if that's all they can hold on to, then I would hate to strip that away from them.
And, you know, well, and you're right. They can't hold on to championships. You know, what else can they hold on to? I mean, you know.
They got a great soccer team, though.
But, you know, some people here in Ohio will say, hey, you know, they got good when Drew Carey, you know, from Ohio took him over. So I don't know. You lose me a little bit with soccer. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but I don't know. Come on. Hey, let's talk a little bit about jerseys. Now, you know, hey, Steelers, they're consistent with their jerseys. They're good with their jerseys. If they change anything about their jerseys, they may have the block numbers from the 70s. I mean, you know, they're not, you know, the Northwest of America, like the Oregon Ducks have different jerseys every game because they're the Oregon Ducks, and they're fun and they're fashion conscious. I'm definitely giving the quote marks by anything like that. And it seems like Seattle, even though they're in a different state, they're like, oh, let's embrace this. Recently, Seattle was on Thursday Night Football. They had turquoise jerseys. What the heck? I mean, Pittsburgh? You know,
didn't they have the turquoise pants that night to go with it? It was all fluorescent green. Like, just calm down. With the
and Steelers, we have black. Fans, we wear our jerseys for the games, black, white. You had the the checker jersey from the past, but at least it was the same color.
There's the bumblebee jersey.
Yeah, the bumblebee. Yes, but at least it's the same colors. It's not
I like those though.
Hot pink or anything. I mean, it's still that black and yellow, and you know, some white numerals and. Or black numerals based on what the color scheme is. You know, here in Pittsburgh, consistency rules the game. I mean, it's laughable when you see Geno Smith running around in a turquoise uniform. I mean, come on, what's going on there?
I think a 5-year-old designs their uniforms.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, those snobby kids with like 120 box of Crayolas or something.
Well, you wouldn't need all of those colors. You really only need like 4 or 5, and it's the turquoise is like the main one. There's like 2 different turquoises.
I always got like the cheap, the smallest box when I was a kid, and so I had like the basic colors. Cool. But when you had like the mega box of crayons, that's when you got all those exciting colors.
Yeah, but they don't use all of them. There's like...
Oh, no.
Yeah. Why would you use all of them when you could just use all turquoise?
I give you this. And we speak about this with other people in society. I think Seattle as a town is very distracted. Okay? Let's be honest. Seattle's got some good things going for it. The Seahawks are good. Steelers are going to have to be on their game, you know, to win Sunday night. But, you know, Seattle, there's talent there. But you would think with all the talent that Seattle's had with the Seahawks, the Mariners, they should be winning more titles. They don't win titles because they get distracted. They're like, ooh, turquoise uniform. Let's put that on. Wouldn't that look fun? Well, we might get some Twitter mentions of that. So they're all distracted with their uniforms and everything without really putting together consistent good teams. And that's why, you know, there's no Super Bowl trophies. Or, well, not many Super Bowl trophies to speak of, you know?
Well, I think we're all – I think their strategy is becoming how obnoxiously bright can we make the jerseys so that it blinds the other team. They've resorted to that tactic.
Which would be consistent with what they're doing with the way they've built the stadium so that they have the 12th man and the extra volume and resonance that the stadium is. Their whole goal seems to be to distract the other team, then you don't have to work so hard on the field itself.
And you know, I'll give you this. They did beat the Broncos in the Super Bowl one year. They won by a lot.
They're the Broncos, and we discussed last week at length how the Broncos suck. So,
and you look at this too. You were playing the Broncos with a diminished Peyton Manning. So it would be kind of like your whoever your favorite football team is playing Johnny Unitas today. You know, I mean, you're like, hey, we won the title, but you know, they play
and
the
we
old
beat Johnny Unitas.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay. I mean,
he's 137 years old, but
right.
We schooled him. We schooled that guy.
So, bravo,
we
Seahawks.
We sacked him 73 times.
You finally won the Super Bowl by being an aging Peyton Manning. That's great. You won one. Steelers won six. Especially. You
know, I bet if Peyton Manning played now, I bet we could take him. And by we, I mean us three. Like a three-on-one type game. I think we could take them.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wouldn't disagree. So, I mean, you know.
This is an official challenge, by the way.
Yeah, official challenge.
If you're out there, and I know you are listening to our audio podcast on behindthecurtain.com.
Yeah, Manning boys, we're coming after you. We'll take Eli.
No. Not the whole family.
Oh, yeah, we're taking Eli.
Yeah, Arch, I don't want him to have anybody Archie. To be able to throw to because he'll crush me. Like, right.
But they're all just quarterbacks.
No. He just has to run it himself.
They all throw okay, but who are they going to throw it to? You know, they're all quarterbacks.
No one, if they can throw it, it's right. Over. Yeah.
Very interesting to see what's happening here. So, again, Seattle, you won your Super Bowl. Big asterisk needs to be by because you'd be aging Peyton Manning. And also, on top of that, hey, what's the, you know, when Pittsburgh and Seattle plays in Super Bowls, who has the advantage? You know, back a few years to Detroit, you know, Steelers won Super Bowl V. Very disappointing because you still hear from Seahawks fans going, we got robbed. No, you're lucky to be there. I mean, your starting quarterback was Matt Hasselbeck. I mean, Matt Hasselbeck should not bring you Super Bowl titles. So, come on.
Lots but hey, of those bring 4 weeks back in the 80s, they had Brian Bosworth.
Yes. And they had Kurt Warner, not the Rams quarterback that won. It was Kurt Warner, the Seahawks running back. And, all kinds of luminaries used to play for Seattle.
And according to your rules, he should not be allowed to be named that because
very, very frustrating at the time. All right, so yeah, that's our reasons why we dislike Seattle, the Seahawks, everything to do with Seattle, Space Needle, everything. Let's end this on a somewhat serious note. I mean, we're tongue in cheek. Don't come after Seattle. Don't at me on Twitter. Come on. And in case you're wondering, CPU Steelers is where you can reach me on Twitter. So don't at me, Seattle. Come on. But let's talk about
not to at you, but then you gave them your Twitter.
Right. Okay. If you
everybody else who agrees with me should at me, but not anybody related to Seattle.
I'll make you a deal. If you at me, follow me, and I'll accept your at. That'll be great. But let's talk about why we think the Steelers will win Sunday night. Interesting matchup. You know, I said it last week with Denver. If the Steelers can be efficient on offense, I mean, they're not going to be a stellar offense this year, but they can be efficient and the defense plays well, they're going to win. And I think for the most part, they were pretty efficient on offense. For the most part, the defense played pretty well. They could win. Seattle, scary team coming in, but no Russell Wilson. They've got Geno Smith. Now, Geno looked pretty good against the Rams. So, I mean, this isn't a very shaky Geno Smith, but it's definitely not Russell Wilson. And I think, hey, Pittsburgh, take care of business. Have an efficient offense. Seattle does not have a great defense right now. So I don't think Pittsburgh's going to put up 50 points, but they can score, and they can be efficient doing it. And come on, Pittsburgh defense, don't fall asleep. Take Seattle seriously. Take Geno seriously. If those things happen, follow the same playbook as you did against Denver. I think it's a winnable game. And look, guys, the Browns are at home this week, but they play the only undefeated team in the NFL, the Arizona Cardinals. You know, they could be tied with the Browns after this week. I'm just telling you that, which is something that didn't seem possible a week ago. Paul, why do you think the Steelers can win on Sunday night?
Well, I agree with you. We need to be very careful and humble because, I mean, we could just look at last season and the no-name quarterbacks that beat us. But I think one of the big keys with Juju out for the season, I think that opens a door for Freiermuth to kind of fill that short yardage target that Juju had served. And I think that's going to serve us well if we do that. So, yeah, I think our defense will do a great job keeping Geno Smith, whatever threat he poses. I think they'll keep that in check. And if we do utilize Freiermuth, if Ben can keep his pass count down like he did this past weekend, and if Najee can continue in the course he's on, I feel pretty good about this game.
And let me interject something. When Paul says us, he's not talking about the Steelers. He's talking about us Steelers fans. I saw a discussion on the Behind the Steel Curtain Slack channel talking about all the inferior quarterbacks that have upset the Steelers over the years. And I'll take you back to one game. Bruce Gronkowski, who was the Steelers backup for a while, there was a game where he upset the Steelers with the Raiders, and he threw for over 300 yards. He didn't beat the Steelers. He beat me. I'm still bitter about that game. So Paul is right. They beat us. Don't let Geno Smith beat us Steelers fans, because Geno Smith beats the Steelers fans. I take that as a personal offense. I remember there was a time when the infamous Mike Glennon brought an inferior Buccaneers team and beat the Steelers, and he just didn't beat the Steelers. He beat us, because I still can't look at Mike Glennon without a dislike in my heart after he beat the Steelers. So
you have to look at him a lot.
Every day.
Every day. He's living in my basement now.
Yes. What was that?
Mike Lennon.
That Dallas game, what was it? Randy Townley playing quarterback for the Cowboys and made him look like a superstar.
Very tough. Very tough. Oh, wow. I'm going to hear about that one. So, very good. So, Joe, why are the Steelers going to beat the Seahawks on Sunday night?
Oh, Najee's going to get over 100 yards again. Okay. That trend's going to go. I think they've started to see how that formula is going to work. Committing to that run opens up a lot of things and makes everything else smoother. I think the defense handles Geno Smith. I think it's Geno's in for a rough afternoon. And I'm so sad that Juju is out for the season. I think we're going to miss him. I think, all best wishes and speedy recovery to him. But as has happened for several teams that have multiple really strong receivers, it actually kind of complicates things when you have so many really talented receivers and it's hard to really pinpoint where you want the ball to go because everybody's good. When it starts to clear out the picture a little bit, then it makes it a little bit easier to commit to making the passes to Claypool when you don't have Smith-Schuster there as well. It's a weird thing that happens with a lot of teams. You're like, oh my gosh, they've got all these great receiving weapons. And then one of the top receivers goes down. This is what happens with the Browns when OBJ went down. Everybody's like, oh my gosh, what are they going to do without him? It cleared out the space and they were able to complete more passes to other people when you aren't concerned about getting that top receiver his touches. And you're able to concentrate on the game and not trying to hit some arbitrary touch count. You know, so I think it can actually work in the Steelers' favor to clear out some of that discussion and be able to commit to the field in front of them. Like you said, I like them getting Freiermuth more involved in the passing game. Every time he gets the ball, we're looking at a first down or a touchdown. So I'll keep preaching that until they actually finally make him a stronger part of the passing game. But I definitely think defense is going to do its work. And Najee is going to be active.
It really is an interesting discussion because before we joined the Behind the Steel Curtain family, we had a general Steelers podcast and we were discussing the re-signing of Juju Smith-Schuster. And, you know, we questioned that. Not that we dislike Juju as a person or as a player, but it was more of a thought of what could the money go elsewhere? Because obviously, even though they got Juju at a hometown rate, he still costs money. And, you know, Joe and Paul, we're going to see the effect of no Juju. I mean, he's still with the team, but you know, he's out for the year. So, as Joe, you said, it'd be interesting to see what happens with James Washington as your third receiver. And look.
And they've added to the practice squad as well. So I think there's a lot of guys that can step up and fill those gaps.
Yeah, not as deep as it were last week, but you know, I think Ben said this during a press conference week, hey, guys gotta step up and stay healthy. So and that's my prayer for all you guys. Stay healthy out there, Steelers Nation, and stay healthy, Joe and Paul. That'd be great. So
I'll do what I can.
Yeah. We're all day to day. I heard a famous ESPN announcer say that once. Well, thanks for checking out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. So much to check out in the network. There's podcasts, live podcasts, audio podcasts you can check out. Articles every day. And not just, I mean, very in-depth articles about film rooms and everything else. Check out BehindTheSteelCurtain.com, your one-stop shop for everything Pittsburgh Steelers related. Check me out this week. Sunday, I'll be guesting on. You can hear that on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. I'll be on Pittsburgh Sports Live to help discuss after the game, the Steelers-Seahawks game. Check that out. We plan to share that on BehindTheSteelCurtain.com as well. All right. Well, for Joe and Paul, this is Chris Pugh. As always, thanks for checking us out here. The Pittsburgh Steelers Power Half Hour. Share us with your friends. Share us with your non-friends. We always like the shares. And thanks for your support. Have a great night, everyone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.